Good evening and welcome to this Friday night, excuse me, Friday night prayer meeting. And I'm just going to share some brief thoughts initially, and then hopefully they will serve as a little springboard to go into our prayer meeting. I'm not going to be long, but I just want to share a couple of thoughts. So let's pray for these thoughts. First, Lord, we thank you this evening. We thank you, God, that we can gather for prayer. We ask you, Lord, to bless these few thoughts, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, and open up heaven so that we can understand more of who you are and how you want to use us through our prayers. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. The book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, I don't know exactly which pronunciation you prefer, but it's a little book in the Old Testament, what we call one of the minor prophets. Doesn't mean that they're less important, it just means that they are shorter than some of the major prophets, meaning Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on. The book of Habakkuk has a great message of encouragement because the things Habakkuk is going through is really something that we all go through. And basically, we could say that the book has five different parts to it. First, Habakkuk is complaining. Then God is answering. Then Habakkuk is complaining again. And then God is answering. And then the book ends with a hymn or a song, which is, we could say, a prayer. And I just want to read verses 1 to 6, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. And what I'd like to speak about for a moment this afternoon, or this evening rather, is the just shall live by, excuse me, by faith. The just shall live by faith, which is actually chapter 2, verse 4. We get there. Okay, so it says here, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and how you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity, and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations and watch. This is God speaking to him now. But be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days. I like that. I will work a work in your days. Sometimes we think that, well, God is going to do something at some point, but he's going to do it in the days of Habakkuk, which you would not believe though it were told you. Can you imagine? God is planning to do something in Habakkuk's life that is so great that if he was told the whole story right there, he would not even believe it. He would not even believe it's possible. So, this is the initial part here. And basically, Habakkuk is saying, I probably pronounce it differently each time I'm saying it, but that's okay. God, have you lost control? Do you know what you're doing? Have you lost your mind? Are you going to send a nation, Babylon, to take over Israel? This nation is more wicked than we are. This doesn't make sense. But God is saying that, just hold it for a second. You are my covenant people. I have entered into a covenant with you. I will not give you up, or I will not give up. I will not give you over to anyone unless there is a very specific purpose, and there is. So just wait and see what I will do in the nation and through you and through your words. So, that brings us to the second chapter, verses 1 to 4. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart, right? And watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. I'm going to get back to that phrase. That he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, in verse 2, we just read the last part. It says that it will be written, the vision, the thing that God told Habakkuk, it will be written on tablets. That's like, you know, little boards that they had in those days. And it will be written on these things. And notice this last little phrase, if you divide the verse up in four parts, the last little phrase, that he may run who reads it. Now, that could be looked at in two different ways. One is that it will be written so clearly that even if a person comes running, he doesn't have to stop and say, what does it say there? Put on his glasses and look carefully and see, okay, that's what it says. It will be so clear that he can run by that sign or tablet and see it. Now, it's a possible interpretation, but a more likely interpretation, and it makes more sense, I believe, in the context, and I love this idea, is that he may run who reads it, meaning that the message will be so strong and so powerful and so convincing that anyone who sees it and reads it will be overwhelmed by it, and they will run with it in the sense that they will take it to the four corners of the world. Kind of like with the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, as well as all the other Gospels ending with the Great Commission. But, you know, when we hear the Gospel, it's so good, it's so great, the good news, that we cannot ignore it. You know, it will change us to such a degree that we will run with it, meaning that we will go with it to the other side of the world if needed, or perhaps just across the street, but whatever the case is. But I love this thing that it will be written so plainly. God's message to Habakkuk, to anyone in Israel at the time who would see this thing, he will be so touched by it that he will run with it, and he will take it to wherever God leads him to go. Now, in verse 4, it speaks about two categories of people. The proud, meaning the Babylonians. The Babylonians were not godly. God didn't tell them that, you're a godly people, I'm going to give ungodly Israel into your hands. No, they were as godly, if not even more godly. They were very ungodly. Vicious. And he says to them that, well, why not live by it? You know, they were proud because they had this military strength, but God said, well, that's nothing. You know, you rely on those things. You know, it's not going to last, and we know from history that it didn't last. But they were proud. They were puffed up for the wrong reason. You know, they believed in their own strength, in their own ability. But then it's contrasted. And of course we could say that these proud people were also the Israelites, because they were also proud in their ungodly lives and the lifestyle they were into and so on. But here it says, but the just shall live by his faith. Who are the just people? Well, those who have received salvation by grace through faith. They have been justified, and we have been justified. And it doesn't speak about salvation in that sense that, you know, the just shall live by faith, but it's the continuation of it. If we have received salvation, we are just. And now there is a life of faith waiting for us. We can go forward, and we can trust God that what He's doing is the right thing. It may not look very good at this point. It may not look like the right thing. If I had a chance to plan these things, I would do it differently, obviously. But God says, trust me. Live by faith. Don't be puffed up with what you have or whatever, but live by faith. Faith in my character. Faith in my ability. Faith in my sovereignty, that I know what I'm doing. And I love this verse 20. It's still verse chapter 2, verse 20. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. The Lord is, I believe, I didn't check it, but when it's spelled, yeah, I believe it's the word Yahweh, meaning the God of Israel, the faithful one, the one who keeps His promises. And God is in His holy temple, and you say, like, well, so what? I'm here, He's there, so what? But I mean, it means that he reigns sovereignly over all things, all the nations, all the details, all the situations, and He is now in His temple. He has not lost control. He is not he has not lost His mind. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's going to allow the Babylonians to come in. He's going to allow them to conquer Israel for a season. But when He's done with them, using them as that tool, He's going to judge them as well. And He's going to restore Israel and bring them back. And He said, just believe that. Just trust that. And then we're going to close now in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. Okay. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When He comes up to the people, He will invade them with His troops. So He's saying here that I'd like to rest in the day of trouble. He's preparing Himself, saying that it's going to happen. I know it. God has spoken. It's going to happen this way. But I know it's not the end. God has a plan beyond these details. And therefore, I want to rest in that whole plan God has revealed and said. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will okay, it doesn't sound like right English or correct English, but I guess it is. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Wow, this is an amazing thought, what he's saying here. He wanted to have peace. He wanted to have rest in the situation. And, you know, when we are in a place where there is nothing left except ourselves, vice versa, there's nothing left except God. And this is the place where Habakkuk was in his life. He had stopped trying to figure out God's ways, all the whys, you know, why, Now he said, okay, God, I know it's going to happen the way you have spoken. And I'm fully convinced that you are in control. And I'm gonna rest in the situation. I'm going to have peace in my mind concerning what you're going to do. And I have great confidence that when this is all over, you're going to restore Israel. And of course, God did that too. Isn't it interesting, though, that, you know, when we pray sometimes, we don't really know, like, thinking like, okay, how will God answer my prayer? And sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've been in this place, but maybe you're with some people and say, okay, I want to pray for this situation, or I want to pray for this person. And then I'm thinking in my heart, well, what if God does not answer the prayer? I will look bad. So maybe I should not pray, because, you know, I play it safe. But, you know, and it happened to me this week. I was thinking about that. There was a situation, and I wanted to pray, and I did pray. But then when I had prayed, these doubts came, and I was thinking, like, well, what if God does not answer the prayer? That person will probably think that, well, you know, God doesn't answer prayers, or he doesn't know how to pray, or he doesn't answer his prayers, obviously, whatever. But, you know, we don't know. We don't know God's perspective. We just have this confidence that what God is doing is the right thing. And if I pray, I'm not sinning. I'm not doing the wrong thing. I am doing the right thing. I just don't know the time perspective. I just don't know when God will enter into the picture and how he will do it and so on and so forth. And that is the difference. But I think that we can be very confident in the fact that God has given us this ministry of prayer, where we can actually pray for the big things. God saved the nations, but also for the small details in other people's lives and my own life and so on. And whatever it is, we bring it to him, and we have confidence in it, because the just shall live by faith. We are not like the proud ones. We are proud sometimes, but I mean, in this sense, we are the just ones, because we've been justified by faith. And now he says, continue to live in that faith. And when you do, you will see great things. And I just close with this, but I love what he said. I will do a thing so great that if I told you about it now, you would not even believe it. And I'm going to do it in your days. I like those two things. Number one, he will do something so great that we can't even comprehend it. And number two, he will do it in our days. It's not like we sometimes say, okay, God is going to do it maybe when we are out of here. And some things he will. But that's what maybe Habakkuk thought. But he said, no, it's going to be in your days. You know, I'm an active God right now. I'm going to move in your life and your situation. Lord, we thank you for these thoughts. Lord, just bless them to our hearts in your precious name.